B-Pod Studios.
The real crime of the Wednesday Night War of AEW versus NXT is in real time trying to pick which show to watch if you don't have the ability to use two screens. I thought both AEW and NXT shows were excellent this week, and both shows had news events and progressed stories. In the opening match of AEW, Hangman Page and Kenny Omega defeated SCU, Scorpio Sky, and Frankie Kazarian. Page scored the winning fall after hitting his buckshot lariat, thus making Kenny Omega and Hangman Page the AEW Tag Team Champions. The Young Bucks came out to celebrate, but Page went into the crowd, got a beer, and then a second beer, and body surfed himself to the stage. Page continues to show either dislike or disinterest or disgust or something about being around the Young Bucks. The week-to-week storytelling with the Bucks, Page, and Omega has been excellent. Disgruntled celebration here, tagging someone else there, missed double team moves. The seeds are being planted, and it's a matter of when they're going to pull the trigger and turn Page villain, or maybe they don't. Maybe they do another swerve. I don't know, but what I didn't like was the Young Bucks haven't been the tag team champions yet. It's just something that bothers me. And there's a case to be made that the Bucks don't need the belts, but they should have it on their resumes as the first AEW tag team champions. While AEW opened hot, I thought NXT closed hot with Keith Lee winning the NXT North American Championship. Lee defeated Roderick Strong after Lee overcame the interference by the Undisputed Era and hit his Fireman's Carry jackhammer for the win. Lee celebrated, left the stage, and then Walter's Emporium group showed up, and a brawl with Undisputed Era sent the show off the air, teasing what we're going to see on Saturday night at When Worlds Collide. The moment that I jumped was when Walter chopped Adam Cole, and Adam Cole did a 360. It was a next level chop by Walter, and the sell by Adam Cole was just awesome. I'm not at all a Walter guy, and it's really because I'm still bitter about Walter beating Pete Dunne at NXT Brooklyn WrestleMania weekend. I'll get over eventually, or I won't, and I'll just hold a grudge, which is okay. We can hold grudges. The question now and the future storytelling for NXT will lead us to, is this the start of the end of the Undisputed Era reign over NXT? And if it is, does the Undisputed Era debut on the Raw after WrestleMania? I'm sure Paul Heyman would treat Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish well. But would Vince? I have my concerns. Jon Moxley beat Pac to earn a title shot against the AEW World Champion Chris Jericho at the Revolution pay-per-view on February 29th in Chicago. I think the storytelling with Jericho and Moxley continues to be excellent. Last week, Jericho gouged Moxley's eye with a spike. Really well done, and something I haven't seen since the Road Warriors did it to Dusty Rhodes in the late 80s. Jericho and Moxley will be really good at the pay-per-view. Meltzer had some interesting notes relating to AEW in his newsletter that I wanted to mention and offer an opinion on. First, Uncle Dave wrote, quote, Marty Scurll had been the first choice to be the leader of the Dark Order and would have debuted on the 12/18 AEW show in Corpus Christi, which had the heavily criticized beatdown. There was an idea for the show to end with the Scurll reveal until Ring of Honor made Marty Scurll such a great offer to stay. Unquote. Does Marty being the leader of the Dark Order move the needle? To me, it doesn't. I see what it means to many Ring of Honor fans and hardcore fans of Marty, but really, other than Marty snapping opponents' fingers, he's really never done it for me. I'm just not really emotionally invested in Marty, but I feel like I'm the exception to this. Item number two from Meltzer, quote, regarding the booking, which has come together better over the last 3 weeks, Tony Khan took more control after the negativity from the Corpus Christi show, and you can see more seeds of long-term planning and layers and storylines, like in the four tag team match and other angles, unquote. If Tony Khan had to step in and be more hands-on for the elite to be the actual elite, then bravo. Good move, Tony Khan. Many people in wrestling call Tony Khan a wrestling savant relating to his memory recall of wrestling angles. So I trust Tony Khan's product knowledge, and if he wants to be more hands-on, I trust his feel of the product. I also believe heavily that he was the one who wanted Chris Jericho to be the first AEW champion, while the other vice presidents, the Bucks, Cody, Brandi Rhodes, and Kenny Omega, all wanted Hangman Page for that honor. Tony Khan was right. Meltzer's third note relating to AEW also relates to Tony Khan. Quote, in a deal that will make the company profitable for 2020 and beyond, TNT and AEW have renegotiated and signed a new four-year contract that would keep Dynamite on the station through the end of 2023. The four-year deal is worth $175 million in rights fees, just under $45 million per year, and includes TNT having an option to keep the show through the end of 2024 at a significantly increased price. The deal has annual escalators built into the contract, quote-unquote. Meltzer, of course, has more details in his newsletter, which of course he does because he's on the Jericho ship and he's on AEW's payroll, which I think is why so many WWE performers have gone after him so publicly on Twitter. But bottom line, this TV deal is really good for AEW and it's good for pro wrestling. If pro wrestling is on a decline, which it might be due to overexposure, then this might hurt. But as far as the business side of wrestling, this is a really good thing for all parties involved. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.